Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? Then you've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and join our Patreon for just $2 a month where you get exclusive episodes. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show.
Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long, Racer T.
You know, yes. I don't know if you really exist, Long, since you have your camera on your fish.
What if it's remote? Well, I'm not going to walk across my room to fix it, so just for this one night.
I swear he's not wearing pants, Matt. That's what I'm going with. Matt Long has no pants on because he's having constitutional issues. Yes, I'm going to call him out and say he's got to run to the bathroom. It's like he doesn't want anybody to know.
I think you meant constipation.
Don't jinx the guy.
Just drop the drawers.
Don't jinx
just
it.
Just drop the drawers and go real quick.
My indigestion issues is finally settled down. So
they call it having a constitution. So constitutional issues works too. I guess.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. That's what my mommy say. Having your constitution. I'm like, what does that mean?
Well, I know it's like a skill in like Dungeons and Dragons.
Shit, that's what I call it. Oh. So yeah. So these fart noises are not brought to you by the Rebel Radio Podcast if it happens.
This is true.
So how are you guys?
Good.
Adjusting into your new schedule there, Matt, a bit.
Yeah, it's gotten a whole lot easier. I'm not tired whenever I'm driving home. You know, whenever I get home, I can be up for a little bit, and then I go to bed, sleeping for a decent amount of time.
Have you laid off the energy drinks?
I have. I went all coffee the last 2 days that I worked, and I have these B12 kind of like the 5-hour energy stuff, but it's like off-brand.
Those are much better than energy drinks.
Well, at least your body realizes it. Like, your body naturally, releases B12.
It replaces one bad thing with another.
Well, whenever you have...
Unregulated, by the way. Energy drinks are not regulated.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
Do you take a daily vitamin, Matt?
Not like a multivitamin, but I do take vitamin C. I take vitamin B and fish oil.
You should just take a daily multivitamin along with your coffee and drink a lot.
Viagra doesn't count.
Drink a lot of water, you'll probably
Viagra doesn't count. Natural energy.
Viagra doesn't count.
If he needs Viagra, then God bless his heart. He's only 37 years old.
don't need that yet.
That's why energy drinks are duty.
I actually feel sorry for him. Yeah, they might if he continues down this path. Drink those energy drinks and no wanky wank.
He don't care. He won't listen. He's a libertarian.
That's right. I do what I want. No one can tell me what to do.
There's one person in your house there that tells you what to do. But
yeah, you got me there.
She's the boss.
No man. No man. But a woman.
No ma'am.
Oh, man. Yeah.
No ma'am.
He's listening. She hears me. I love you, wife.
I would love it. It would be great if she just came and slapped you right inside the head right now. That'd be the great one.
She could. I don't think I did anything too offensive.
That'd be a fantastic radio moment.
But that is definitely within the realm of possibilities of her doing. Definitely.
Well, we are only a couple weeks away from our 250th episode. That's halfway to 500. That's pretty amazing when you think about it.
For real.
I don't know if we'll ever make 500. I mean, who knows? We'll still be going then. But for now, we're getting closer to that milestone. So I think that's pretty impressive. And it shows the work that we have put in to bring this show every week to people across the world. Because we have had people across the world listen to us. And we'll talk more in a couple weeks about that as we'll celebrate 7 years of the show and 250 episodes here in a couple weeks. And good stuff, man. I honestly never thought we'd make it this far, but here we are, just a couple episodes away. And
for real. Yeah, it's gone very, very fast, I feel like.
You know,
we just revamped the show not too long ago.
So especially since the reboot happened, man. You and I, and then Long joined us later, just kind of took it and ran with it, man. We're like, you know what? We almost quit the show, and we're like, no, fuck it, let's do it. We took it and ran with it, and we've gone nonstop. We rebooted with episode 81, and I think since then we've really maybe 3-4 weeks we took off. I mean, not more than that. We haven't taken a whole lot of weeks off. We've gone strong.
And, yeah.
But it's just, we enjoy doing it, so it's fun. So, and again, in a couple weeks, we'll hit 250, and we'll celebrate a little bit more. But today, this is episode 248. So, let's get it officially started with Download This, where we talk about what we streamed, watched, checked out this week. And I never start. I'm going to start this week. I really only watched one thing. I didn't get the Bad Batch watched today yet. I wanted to, but I watched it over the weekend. But I did watch I finally sat down. I mentioned it on the show last time. I sat down with the kids and I watched The Mitchells vs. the Machines on Netflix. And it's from Christopher Lord or Phillips or whatever their names are. The guys did the Lego movie and Spider-Man. Universe. They produce it. And this is, I highly recommend this movie. It is hilarious. The kids were rolling laughing. I was laughing. It's one of those great family movies that are funny for the adults and for the children. Heartwarming me at times too, so long you can bless your dark heart with it. it was truly a funny film with a good message. And I applaud them for the movie, because it's a shame. Hopefully people see it on Netflix, because it was scheduled to be in theaters like a lot of movies are right now. But Netflix ended up buying this one and putting it on Netflix instead of in theaters. And it's a really funny film. This movie is it's truly funny. A good, like I said, it has a good moral story to it about a family in center around a robot apocalypse where the robots are destroying the world and taking over everything. And they're like the last human family left to save the world. And they're dysfunctional, but they're dysfunctional in a way that people, I think, can relate to, because they're typical family problems and stuff. But they're not like one thing I think they did smart with the writing of The Mitchells vs. Machines is that the family is not, what's the word I'm looking for? The drama is not overdone. Does that make sense? It's not, you know, you can relate to these characters. You know, like, we all go through the things they go through as families.
This is a live-action movie? Animated. Or?
They used the really closely similar anime style what they used with Spider-Verse, but without the comic book blur. This is more straightforward animation, but it has that same look to it. So, you know, because it's done by Sony Animation Studios. And, I know Sony takes some flack for some of their live-action movies, but, you know, Spider-Verse was great, and this is really great. So, you know, maybe they're starting to hit a home run with their animation studio, at least, even with their live-action stuff. Sometimes leaves a little bit to be desired, you know. But highly recommend on Netflix, The Mitchells vs. Machines, to watch that. And then other than that, I was talking in pre-show about old animated movie Fire and Ice from Ralph Bashke and Frank Frazetta, I guess that's how you say his last name.
Frank Frazetta.
Yeah, medieval fantasy artist who did a lot of Conan work and stuff like that. And I'm just sitting there watching this and thinking, I remember seeing it as a kid, and it actually holds up pretty well. It's a pretty decent animated film. And but I'm just like, man, we watch this for our kids. The chicks walking around it with a half naked most of the movie with her. I mean, they don't show anything, but she's very scantily clad, and there's a lot of spears going through people, and it's rated PG. And I'm like, man, this is kind of awesome, the things they could get away with in 1983. You know, if you put out an animated movie like that now, it'd be like, it's easily PG-13. If not
possible. And it's rotoscope.
Rated R, yeah, it's rotoscope. So it's it's pretty cool though. I remember seeing it as a kid, and I was just felt like rewatching it because I saw it was free on Vudu, and I'm like, it's a pretty fun little movie. I didn't finish it, but you know, I got pretty far into it. I mean, it's only an hour and 20 minutes long, but when it's free on Vudu, the fucking commercials make it feel like it's longer than it should be, you know. And but fun stuff, man. But I did not get the Bad Batch watched today before we were able to record, so I have to watch over the weekend. And that's only because I did not get the featured movie watched until today, so I had to come home and rewatch that before dinner and everything. So, and damn. We'll get to feature movie in a minute, but it's a long feature film for a kid movie, 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, what did you guys watch check out this week?
I played Resident Evil Village. Didn't even realize that it downloaded yet. And Long was like, I think it's downloaded already. And it, sure enough, it's been out for like, I think, a week and a half at least. So I started playing it. And I'm through the first boss battle, and I'm through the second, and now I'm getting chased by the big lady, Lady Damascu.
Yeah.
The one that you always see getting modded into friggin' see-through lace and pasties. She's chasing me right now.
Did you chase her with a swatter? Slap her butt with a swatter?
I have not. I tried to, because I think that's a mod for the... for the knife, and so I had the knife.
Oh, really?
And I tried to do it, try to see if I could poke her in the butt, and I got like slashed, so I was like, I wasn't as smooth as the guy that did it in the viral TikTok video, but it's definitely a throwback to a lot of Resident Evil films, or I mean not films but games. It feels a lot like 4. It feels mostly like 4. The mansion makes it feel like 1. The typewriter gives you that Resident Evil 2 kind of feel, and then you can make your own ammunition, which is a throwback to Resident Evil 3. So, you know, and then they've got all the classic stuff, the jump scares, the sounds, the, you know, everything's dark. So it's pretty creepy playing the game. I think they got it right. And, of course, Chris Redfield is in it. And you know, like to see what happens to him at the end. There's supposed to be some twist, so I'm gonna have to keep playing and figure that out. But it's been great. I like it. I pre-ordered it, so I got the Wesker's 9mm Beretta from the first Resident Evil. They give you it all souped up. It's got a suppressor on it, flashlight, and everything. And you get a few little more gimmicks, like little charms, Raccoon City charms for your shotgun and stuff. But yeah, playing that here and there. And I watched 2 films. Coincidentally, they are car films. And one of them is Hobbs and Shaw, just because I wanted to see how it was. And yeah, it feels like a typical, like, the new Fast and the Furious movie type of thing. You know, it was a rock movie. Felt like a rock movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it was free on HBO Max, so...
Was it good, Matt?
I was entertained by watching it, but
yeah,
it's an okay movie. You know,
yeah,
B-.
Oh, okay.
I would say B-. I mean, there's some decent action in there. There's... you know, some cool car scenes, but overall, I think B-. I mean, you'd enjoy watching it. Then I watched Too Fast, Too Furious, which is probably... Too Fast, Too Furious is probably
a like really a C- bad minus. Movie.
Yeah, C-, most likely. That's probably fair.
We hungry. That's all I remember that stupid
movie. We hungry, yeah. And ejecto cito, cuz, and that's it. And then the guy,
too dumb, too stupid.
Too dumb, too stupid. The funniest part on there is whenever he tries to get the, they try and force a detective to, you know, be Brian's partner, and he's like, I need someone who, you know, who knows something about cars, you know. He's like, deal with it. This is your partner, and he's like, hey. You know, I'm thinking about a new motor for my Skyline. What should I go with, the Gallo 12 or a Gallo 24? And the guy's drinking a soda from a pizza place called Gallo's. And he's like, a Gallo 12. And Brian's like, I didn't know pizza places sold engines. And so a lot of people remember that line too. But it's so cheesy. It's too much cheese. And Eva Mendes is in it, so that's cool. But that's about it. You know, the movies went on to be worse until Fast and Furious came out. Then it was decent. then they started, you know, coming into something, and then they got ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous is the best way for it. You know, now these guys look like they could take on the Avengers at some point, you know, with their cars, which is outrageous. But maybe one day they'll get back to just, like, you know, what the first one was. That was fun. But my two cents. That's about it, man. That's about it. Two movies and Resident Evil Village.
If you can call those movies.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything except work on my getting my 75-gallon fish tank set up.
Boring long.
Hey, it's a week-long project.
It is a lot of work.
Let me be. I enjoy the work. It's a hobby, so...
You know, you should be watching something in the background, but no, slack it off.
Oh, I will. I'm towards the finish line. All I need to do is fill the tank up and get it cycled and put some fish in it later on in the month. So I'm good. I should be able to watch something starting tomorrow. So
yeah,
nice.
So basically, I spend time on my physical hobby rather than my the video games or stuff like that. Anyhow, that's my download.
Guess we'll allow your boring life. No, I'm just kidding.
It is quite boring.
Yeah, well, you know, you're getting old.
I like the fishes. Fishes are cool, man. So, I can't wait. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
He's just going to put his camera on him so you can watch. He's going to put his balls behind the back of the fish tank so you can see him.
That's so twisted.
Yeah, well, so you know what? He's the one who's doing weird things with no pants today. Not me. All right. Well, let's get into today's featured film. From the Wachowski brothers, the last film they made as brothers before they became siblings or whatever, transgender siblings, I guess. I'm not really sure how that works, but we're not going to get into that. But this was the last movie. And this was interesting. It's one of the first movies to ever be shot in with high-definition cameras. A lot of new technology created for this movie. And that was 2008's Speed Racer. First time you ever saw this movie, Matt.
Yeah, this is the first time.
Would you like to summarize this movie the best you can without going on and on?
Yeah, basically, the main basis of the film, without getting into these little tangents that are adapted off of the main storyline, is you have Speed, who is an up-and-coming awesome racer like his brother, and everyone wants to sign him, just like in the anime, and he races alone. He just races for his dad, who builds awesome fast vehicles, some of the best. Used to work for a major corporation before he got booted, and Speed goes on to be courted by an evil corporation who tries to make him race for them, and instead he goes on his own working for this basically a Secret Service type of organization. And trying to thwart this mafia's plan to rig a race for their own financial gain, essentially. He thwarts their plans and gets invited to the Prix, where he wins at the end. And, you know, there's this mystery of his brother floating around. Of course, if you've watched Speed Racer, you know, cartoons, you know, his brother Rex, you know, became Racer X, and Racer X never reveals it. And I think in this film, they make him out to have like plastic surgery.
Yeah. And he's a secret agent. He was never a secret agent in the comics. He was just a mysterious racer in the comics. You know?
Yeah. So they kind of give some purpose behind it. So Rex is, you know, we're also working for this agency, and he kind of, you know, helps recruit Speed and, kind of mentors him a little bit along, but silently. Like, you know, he's like, feel the car, you know, whispers it to himself, but then, you know, Speed is, you know, magically is able to do some things on a whim that normally he wouldn't do, because his brother is the car whisperer, I guess. But, you know, there's a lot of crazy stuff that happens here. It's not your typical speed racer kind of stuff where he's just jumping cars or going into a forest and having the buzz saws come out and chopping down trees. He's using it widely against the other cars, way more than in the anime.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, it's way more fast paced, I feel like, than the anime was.
It's kind of aggressive. It's kind of Speed Racer on acid.
that's probably a good summary.
It's extremely colorful. The high definition.
I can hear everything from an undisclosed location, and you know where I'm at.
The high definition definitely shows. The film is really nicely shot. There's a lot going on in this movie. There's so much moving stuff on camera. Lots of CGI upon layered CGI, which they, Wachowski's discovered they can do a lot with the high def cameras and add layers upon layers. So the racetracks and all the kind of otherworldly sequences feel like they have multi layers to them. This is a movie that the first time you watch it, you're like, you're not sure if you completely like it or what to make of it, because it's kind of long. It's 2 hours and 15 minutes. It's a long movie for a movie that's supposed to be a kid film. And then a lot happens just when you think the movie is over. There's almost another 20 to 25 minutes after the end of the movie, which has like a second climax after the climax of this film. So the movie kind of tends to drag a bit in parts, but I think it's got a certain charm to it that forgives it for a lot of things that happen in this movie. It's well acted. Emil Hirsch is good. Christina Ricci still looks like she's on crack half the movie, but she's good in it. Susan Sarandon and John Goodman are excellent. So it's got a lot working for it. Pop artist Rain from overseas. This was his film debut. And of course he went on to star in Ninja Assassin as well. He was expected to be the next big thing here in Hollywood, and hasn't quite worked out that way for him, but he makes his debut in this film. So there's a lot of good things in this movie. Matthew Fox, of course, plays Racer X, and that you mentioned that Speed never finds out. Speed thinks it's his brother, even though he tells him he's not his brother. That's probably the one thing I hate about this movie. I wish he would have known it was his brother. You know, I don't like the way the ending's kind of written off, where he's like, "Oh, it's a decision I have to live with," because it made it assume we were going to get a sequel, and we never got a sequel.
Yes, that's what I felt. I felt like, you know, whenever this movie ended, like they were banking on a sequel type of thing.
Yeah.
Well, and what did you think of
it? The Wachowskis and everything wanted to do a sequel at one point, but the movie wasn't a big enough hit, unfortunately, to warrant a sequel. But what do you think about Speed Racer, your initial thoughts?
I hate you too. But I like it a lot. No, I'm joking.
Under the blanket the whole time.
I was under the blanket the whole time. Under the blanket.
I could see him breathing.
Oh, maybe they have better eyes.
Anyways, I thought it was a very colorful movie. I first saw the Speed Racer anime, the original TV show on
Cartoon Network
mornings. No, not Cartoon Network. I didn't have cable back then.
Oh, okay.
But they did show on local TV, and at that time, at that time, the syndicated channels, the local channels, also showed old Elvis Presley movies, you know, and for some reason as a kid I thought that Speed Racer looked like Elvis Presley, right? And I thought the Speed Racer cartoon was based on the Elvis Presley movies.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I mean, you have to admit though, I mean, he does kind of look like Elvis. So not Emil Hirsch, but the cartoon design.
Oh yeah. Yeah, the cartoon.
Yeah, and I remember watching a couple of racing movies that starred Elvis Presley. It's like, hey, I think the cartoon's based on that guy or something. But I thought the movie itself was pretty colorful. It's very kinetic. I love the creative editing choices it's made.
All right.
I do remember the scene where the president of the racing organization was doing his radio announcements or something, and it's like kind of intercutting with a montage and behind him as a backdrop, and it I thought the movie was pretty creative in that sense of the use of colors and
They did do
quick cuts.
And what's cool is the film was shot in only 60 days with about 50% of that was green screen. They did do a lot of set shooting, and they did build a lot of the cars because the Wachowskis did want there to have some realism to it. And then they CGI'd the cars using some sort of new technique they developed to have the drivers look like they're driving a car, and they filmed them, and it would move the actors around in this thing, and they would CGI around them. So there was some practical effects, but this movie's still a heavy CGI movie. And it's interesting.
And they're drifting like all the time.
Yeah,
I'm like, why are you always – where are the straightaways? Like, is it like one friggin' spaghetti noodle looking track?
This movie has been trying to get made since like the 90s. Keanu Reeves was attached to it back in the 90s. He was attached to it again within this version. Yeah. He almost played Racer X in this version until he backed out. You know, so
Vince Vaughn.
Why did he back out?
I don't know. I guess he just didn't feel like doing it. Maybe I don't know what else he was doing in 2008. But yeah, you know, so they were trying to make Speed Racer back in the 90s. Several actors were attached to it. Vince Vaughn was attached to it. I think at one time Alfonso Cuarón was going to direct it. Could you imagine him? You know, there's a guy who's won a couple Oscars. Imagine him directing a Speed Racer movie. So, and the film finally was able to get made in the late 2000s, and it's, you know, maybe it's a good thing that the technology was able to catch up to make a movie as elaborate and as kinetic as this film is, because I think in that way it really works. It brings the cartoon to life on the big screen. It feels like you're watching a live-action cartoon version of Speed Racer, because the base characters, Speed, Pops, Chim-Chim, and Spritel, and Trixie are pretty dead on as how they are in the comics. And the amazing thing is Christina Ricci never watched any Speed Racer, but she does a good job with Trixie. Now, Emil Hirsch, on the other hand, he went and watched every single episode of Speed Racer to get ready for the role because he wanted to do the best he can. And I think they all do really good jobs with their roles in the movie. And I think that's what makes Speed Racer work, is the fact that the characters are done right. Now, what makes the movie not work so well? Well, it's really long. There's a lot of stuff that could have been cut out, and it still would have told a good story. Some of the corporate overtaking's a bit much for a kid film. It's like, could we have maybe simplified that a little bit? You know, I think I would have...
The president of that company was like, whenever he was yelling, "And you, I am yelling at you in the British accent, and I will destroy your family."
Yeah. You could have taken some of that out and maybe focused more on Speed and his legacy of his brother, and then had it revealed at the end that Racer X was his brother. I think you could have told a little bit tighter story in that way. But
yeah,
but it's the story choices they made, you know. And at the end of the day, for the most part, I think the film works.
Yeah. So long, really quick. I followed up on your Speed Racer. Racer X, Keanu Reeves question. He told MTV that it simply did not work out, and that he wished it had, but it didn't. And then I guess he gave them some of his lines. But I didn't realize he was also offered around the same time the role of Dr. Manhattan in The Watchmen. Didn't know that.
But wow. Matthew Fox does a good job as Racer X. You know, I mean, there's not a whole lot to be done with that role. You know, you're playing the mysterious guy. I mean, in some ways, if you had put Keanu in that role, it might have made it stand out a little bit more. Where Matthew Fox, he's known but not super known, so maybe having someone like him makes the role work a little better. You know, than putting a superstar in there.
Yeah, man, I have to agree. I think you'd just, you know, you'd waste Keanu Reeves. Yeah. You know,
then Emil Hirsch, you know, he. And here's a kid, man, that, you know, he's not a kid anymore. He's probably in his 40 by now. Man, he did some really good stuff, man. He's good in this. He was really good in Lords of Dogtown. He was excellent in Into the Wild. And then he, you know, he got into some legal trouble a few years ago. You know, I guess he hit his girlfriend or something. And now he's still working, but he's just not that – he never quite made it to the A-list. And I always felt like he was a really good young actor that could have been an A-list guy and could have been an action star and – made some really good films if he had stayed out of some trouble that he got into. Because I legitimately like him on screen. He's kind of got – I know he got compared to Leonardo DiCaprio some, and I could see that. You know, he's kind of got that similar, you know, charm, good looks to him and the way he acts and stuff. But it just felt like he could have had an even better career with some of these movies he did in the 2000s.
Yeah, and whenever I first saw this film, like, there are certain, like, angles. He kind of looks like Leo DiCaprio to me. I got this, you know, Leo DiCaprio vibe, and I was like, man, what if they had Leonardo DiCaprio as Speed Racer?
Have you ever seen Lords of Dogtown, the skateboard movie?
I have.
Man, it's good. It could be on Netflix or Hulu, one of those, but he's in it. Heath Ledger's in it, and Heath is absolutely amazing in the movie. It's definitely worth looking at. Emil Hirsch is in there as one of the, you know, the Z Boys. It's a really good film. Have you ever seen it, Long?
Yeah, no.
That's a good.
But yeah, I know it's based on.
Yeah, real it's based life. On real stories yeah. about the skateboard yeah. boom in the '80s, and Emil's in it, and he's really good in the movie. Yeah, this stuff, man. I kind of like always had hoped the Wachowskis might have made a sequel to this. I know they talked about it for a long time, but I'm sure now, you know, 13 years later, that's probably. Idea of it's going. Emil Hirsch would be too old to play Speed Racer, and you know,
has it been that long?
Yeah, since 2008. So you know, you'd have to almost reboot it now if you were to do it. But it could have been fun to see a sequel and tell the continued story of Speed and his brother Racer X and see where they went from there. But you know, we got at least one live action Speed Racer film, and it's better than nothing. And you know, it's a fun movie to watch, and I just rewatched it today, the same day I recorded. And you know, even though it's a bit of a long movie, I still find it highly entertaining. The race sequences are really exciting and pretty good. I think Spritel and Chim Chim are legitimately pretty funny, and even in for a cartoon movie, they pull off a live action chimp pretty well. They use a pair of twin chimps to do the acting in this movie, and for chimp actors, they do a good job.
Yeah,
I have to say
they're pretty good.
You know, and some
they are spot on. They're always in trouble.
Legitimately man. Funny scenes, yeah, with those two. They're eating all the candy. but well done on that. So, being your first time you ever saw Matt, anything stood out for you? Something you really liked in the movie that they did well?
Even though it was crazy, I kind of liked the scene where he's going down the mountain. And they're like, oh, my God, you know, seeing flashbacks of Rex crashing, you know, and he uses the eject, you know, the pop-up jack stands or whatever, launches himself onto the other side of the mountain. And then these spikes come out of his tires, which I don't know how they don't pop, you know, but it's like the spikes come out of the tires and he just drives straight up the mountain.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that was actually pretty cool. Even, you know, it was like I didn't know like where the, like how he got from one side of the mountain to the other, you know, cause I was like, it looked like he went, you know, the way the track went, it didn't look like it made sense, but I was like, you know, didn't want to think too hard about it, but it looked good. It looked good to me. The only thing that I wish there was more straightaways. That's really it. You know, like, why are we always in a, whoa, you know, always in a turn, you know,
they got to make it super exciting.
Yeah, man.
Because this is F1, fool, not freaking NASCAR.
F1, yeah. Forza 4, what's that car game? The rally with the rally cars. That's what it felt like a rally car. Like rally, if you mix rally cars and Formula 1 or something, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that's what they set out to do. The Wachowskis admittedly set out to make. They wanted it to look like a cartoon on the big screen. They wanted to kind of have a otherworldly effect to it, you know. And and I think they succeed in that for the most part, you know. Because I think if you had made this as a regular live action film where Speed's a regular racer, then it kind of becomes more generic, you know.
Yeah.
So I think it makes sense to make it a little bit more kind of almost set in a fantasy universe, but yet with kind of a real setting to it.
That's fair.
So.
Yeah.
But,
yep.
But overall, I enjoy this movie. I give it a B, I think, almost a B+. I think it's enjoyable for the most part, despite its flaws.
Actually, one of my early Blu-ray.
Yeah. I watched it on Blu-ray today. It looks great on Blu-ray. It's a great looking film. I think just what holds it back for me is being a little long. You could have cut it out a little bit and a little bit less corporate mongrel takeover. You know, maybe simplify the story some. But the race sequences are fantastic. I think it's really well acted. The fact that the Wachowskis got all these actors to buy into all the green screen work and stuff, I think they did a good job pulling it all together.
I would say B. Solid B.
Yeah, I would give it a B-ish.
B-ish. That's fair enough. Well, that got me thinking then, for our top five this week. There's been a lot of cartoons that have come to the big screen and live action versions, and some better than others. And so we did a little bit of challenge. Now, these are not like on our list, like The Jungle Book, for instance, was an animated film. And of course, Disney's making all their movies into live action movies. So those don't count. This has to be movies that.
Damn it. You just ruined my list.
Movies that were cartoons on television.
You ruined my list. Were
brought to the big screen. Well, yes. I'm a ruiner then. And I guess I'll go first this week. Since I ruined Long's list. At number five, I know it's not the best film, but it's a guilty pleasure. And it's the only version we have so far, unless they ever reboot this, and that is Masters of the Universe. When I was 10 years old, I thought it was awesome to see He-Man Skeletor on the big screen. I had no idea that the movie was set on Earth and it was kind of stupid. I just thought it was cool. It was when I was older when I realized, wow, this movie isn't very good, but yet it's still a nostalgic favorite. And so I have Masters of the Universe as my number five cartoon turned into movie, live action movie.
Nice. I also have Masters of the Universe at number five. I saw it when I was little. I thought it was pretty damn cool. And I know it's not as good watching it now as when I watched it when I was a kid, but that nostalgia.
Skeletor versus He-Man fight at the end is still legit, though. That shit's good.
That one is good. Yeah.
And Frank Langella absolutely owns it. And he still, to this day, says it's one of the favorite roles he ever played. He loves it.
Man. It was good.
Yep.
Well, my number five, I don't know. It was kind of debatable, but my number five is actually Garfield. And I was kind of basing, I know it's based on the comic strip, but you know, there was a long running TV hit Saturday morning TV show.
Yeah.
Garfield and Friends. Yeah. So, and it's kind of a funny irony because, the voice of the Garfield TV show was recommended. Lorenzo Music was the original voice actor, was recommended by Bill Murray to voice, Peter Venkman. Right. in the real Ghostbusters. And then it's kind of ironic that Bill Murray is voicing Garfield, who used to be Lorenzo Music's one of his main roles.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my number five is Garfield. The movie, which I actually enjoyed.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Hey, it's okay, because at number four, I have a kid movie, too, that I thoroughly enjoy when I saw a live-action version. That's Alvin and the Chipmunks. The first one, not all those sequels they made. All the sequels kind of got really stupid and cheap. But that first one they made with Jason Lee, it's, you know, it's actually really funny and really well done. The kids have watched it a few times. You know, Nickelodeon, one of those channels, plays those movies all the time. But that first Alvin and the Chipmunks is actually a really good live-action adaptation of what the cartoon was they brought to big screen.
Not bad.
Oh, yeah.
I felt like, you know, I had to use an anime, and that's Ghost in the Shell. I felt like it was tit for tat, almost scene for scene, and I enjoyed it.
That was a television series, though.
It was on TV as a series. It was on one season.
Yeah, it had three seasons.
Oh, yeah, but after the movie came out. So
after the anime.
No, it came out before the movies, the three seasons.
Yeah.
What, the standalone complex?
Yeah.
That came out after.
Yeah, those came out.
I thought the.
No, those came before the movie.
Well, yeah, they're considered prequels, but I thought the show came out after the movie.
Yeah, the I thought you're talking about the Scarlett Johansson movie.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the original anime movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, the live action movie borrows elements from both sources. though.
It's kind of both. Yeah.
It's a cheat.
Yeah. That's my only contended one.
My number four is actually a guilty pleasure movie. I enjoyed it quite a bit when I first saw it, and it's Inspector Gadget.
Oh, I almost had that on here.
Yep. Started out as a TV show, and Matthew Broderick plays Inspector Gadget, but I like his evil doppelganger more, who's more entertaining.
Yes.
It's a main character. Yeah.
The tie.
Yeah. And his perfect teeth. I don't know. Yes. It was like I was wearing dentures. I don't know why they did that, but yeah, Inspector Gadget at number four.
At number three, I have the second G.I. Joe movie, Retaliation. I know neither one of those are great, but this one's closer to what the cartoon was than that first one. I mean, at least Cobra Commander looks like Cobra Commander. You know, the Joes look like the Joes. They're not wearing mech suits or whatever it was in that first one they were wearing. So, you know, they're not perfect, but I enjoy the second one. It's funny because two of these movies on here, we have news for these franchises here in just a little bit. But G.I. Joe Retaliation at number three.
Number three for me, I've got TMNT2 because Vanilla Ice, baby, and Super Shredder with, you know, Big Sexy as Super Shredder. Kevin Nash.
That's kind of a guilty pleasure movie.
It is. It is
nostalgic. But I like it.
It's fun. I felt like it's the most fun turtle movie. You know? Yeah.
But I don't know why they didn't pull the trigger for Bebop and Rocksteady, and they went with two generic Taka and Rezar.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And then they feed them the donuts. The
generic. But that's the thing, though. The Risa reboot, the second one was more in faith of the cartoon, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because it had the Technodrome, it had Krang, it had Rocksteady and Bebop, but it wasn't very good.
But it had Megan Fox in a schoolgirl outfit.
Yeah,
so outside of Megan Fox, I forgive that movie for just for that scene alone.
Oh, you do? Okay.
All day.
And well, Stephen Amell was in it too, right?
Yes, he plays Casey Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's number three, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so my number three is George of the Jungle by Disney. I remember watching the Sunday morning cartoon at 10 o'clock as a kid on Channel 39 of the original George of the Jungle. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really. I just watched it because I was bored, but I actually enjoyed the movie more than
the
cartoon series.
I actually saw that by accident. I don't remember what happened now, but I remember going to the theater, and I was going to see something else, and I think something was wrong with the projector or something, and they were like, "Well, y'all go see whatever you want." And for some reason, I saw George of the Jungle, so I remember seeing that movie on accident, and I legitimately remember being very funny, and I don't really like Brendan Fraser all that much, but I remember enjoying that movie, you know.
Their escapade in the jungle is pretty funny when they're exploring it before they meet George and the three African guides were just laughing at the prissy dude, mm-hmm. you know, the prissy witch dude, you know. This is the point where we hold our heads back and start laughing. You know, it breaks the third wall, which I like, you know. So that's my number three, George of the Jungle.
But number two, I have the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles live action movie. I mean, Secret of the Ooze is a good guilty pleasure, but without part one, we don't get part two. And part one captures so much essences of the show, of the cartoon and the comic book the correct way. And it's still a fun movie. You know, we covered it about a year ago. We covered Ninja Turtles, and it's still one of the good ones.
Oh yeah. Number two, I've got Transformers 2007. I actually liked it, and I felt like it was out of the, you know, the Michael Bay films. I felt like it was the strongest film. And I really like Shia LaBeouf as Witwicky, and of course Megan Fox was in it. You know, who doesn't like a girl that knows how to work on cars? You know, I felt like the story was good. You know, the old Camaro, the 70, what was it, a 78 Z20, Z71.
Don't hurt yourself, Matt.
Z28, sorry, Z21's the car, the truck. But, and then they released the new Camaro off of it. It was cool. But yeah, after leaving the theater watching that film, I thought cars were going to turn into a robot next to me. That's what I felt like. I was walked in that out of that film, weirded out for some reason. I don't know why.
Good one, Matt. My number two is actually the same as Mark's, as Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I remember I really, really, really wanted to see this movie in the theaters as a kid. And it was full. And I had to wait till home video because it kept getting sold out. So it's like, yeah. But that's my number two. Mark has pretty much touched on all the big points
at,
on it.
At number one.
Don't disappoint us, Mark.
It might be disappointing. I don't know. But I have Transformers at number one. Despite the hardcore Transformers fans' hatred for Michael Bay and the way he changes characters, this franchise has been highly successful. I mean, it's been one of the most successful franchises in the last 20 years, money-wise. It's made a shit ton of money for Paramount. That's why they keep making them. It brought characters that I grew up watching to the big screen. And even in 2007, as an adult, I thought it was awesome to see Optimus Prime the first time on screen. I could care less about Shia LaBeouf, even though I heard Matt say, I liked him. Oh, fuck him. I could care less about him. For me, it was more about seeing these characters come to life on the big screen in a way like I had never seen them before. And to me, that was really exciting in 2007. And it did, I wasn't such a hardcore fan that it bothered me that Michael Bay changed some of the character designs. I never cared. I just thought it was really cool to see Transformers on the big screen. And I'm thankful that we got that franchise despite some of its problems. And I always say to people that hate on the Transformers movies, like, you know what, they're giant robots invading Earth. Are you really going to take it that seriously? And just enjoy them for what they are.
Well, hopefully I'm not too disappointing. This one is technically live action because it's mixed. Oh, it falls into the live action category, and that is the first SpongeBob movie with the Hoth. And the Hoth delivers them back to Bikini Bottom, where they sing the Goofy Goober song, and they take back the control from Plankton.
Plankton!
Ah! There you go.
My favorite, one of the funniest scenes in there for me was when they think that they are men or having mustaches.
Yes.
And so Alec Baldwin's bounty hunter character shows up. You call those mustaches because they're fake, right? And he says, let me show you a real mustache. He's all clean shaven. And he wills the mustache into existence. His facial hair, all the facial hair pops out, just demoralizing the two main characters.
Yes.
I thought that was so stupid, but at the same time, so the funniest thing. I've never laughed at a cartoon so hard because of that.
It was good, man.
Yeah, the whole TV show, I mean, it's consistently good.
Oh, yeah.
Love it.
You can pick any episode, and it's entertaining.
Yeah, yeah. It's like one of the few shows that I don't mind watching over and over with, you know, with a kid. So.
Home, you watch SpongeBob by yourself. It's okay.
Yeah, I'll watch it by myself. I don't give a fuck. I love that show.
He said with a kid,
I don't give a fuck.
You
know, it's a family show, so I'm 1/4 of a family.
Anyway, what's your number one? Quit crying.
Well, my number one is actually, I'm surprised you guys didn't pick it, but for me, Bumblebee was the more faithful interpretation of the cartoon.
Well, sure. I kind of talk about the Transformers franchise as a whole.
Yeah. Well, as a whole, not faithful. I mean, it has elements like the Cybertron and all that, but Bumblebee was the most faithful interpretation. Yeah. It had Cybertron, it had the whole G1 design, simplified, awesome looking robot design, not like those, I don't know, I don't like the Michael Bay designs at all, personally. They're too shitty looking, I say.
Shitty looking.
Man, but that's me being old school. But I love the G1-esque designs of the Bumblebee Transformers more. And, yeah. My number one is actually the Bumblebee movie. And the plot's good. The characters are awesome. Very relatable. And, yeah. The good villain, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool. Good tough.
I still need to watch that film. Yep. I've not seen Bumblebee.
It's on Amazon Prime and Netflix, I think.
I'll have to. That'll be my homework this weekend. I'll watch Bumblebee.
All right, let's do some news. We mentioned last week that they were expected to announce it on Goku Day, and they are going to do Dragon Ball Super Broly Movie 2 in 2022. So I'm sure Dragon Ball fans like Matt are going to be super excited for this.
Yes.
And probably Christmas of 2022 is most likely from what the word is. And not much news other than that on it. Just the Akira, how do you say his last name? He just said
Akira Toriyama.
Yeah, he said I promise lots of action. That's basically what he said in interviews. So you know, we'll see what happens. Lots of grunting and stuff will happen. I can guarantee that. Dragon Ball, Netflix is going to bring a new Ultraman anime movie to Netflix. So Ultraman fans out there are going to get that. We are going to get a trailer for the Snake Eyes movie by the time you people hear this show. The Snake Eyes trailer will be out for the G.I. Joe Origins movie. We'll see. I think it's interesting that the poster has a maskless Snake Eyes. I thought the whole cool thing about him was you never knew who he was. I think in late in the Marvel comics, I think they eventually revealed him, but I think for the most part, he was always a mystery. We'll see. You know, they're trying to reboot G.I. Joe with the Snake Eyes movie. So, hopefully.
I can't wait to see the Baroness again.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, there's something about that character that's just so, I don't know, fatal attraction-esque about her.
There we go.
I wish Adrian Palenque was coming back to play Lady J, but not in this one anyway. Maybe if they do another film.
She was pretty good in that.
And hot. And lastly, some big news this week is Kevin Smith revealed this He-Man cartoon will be out July 23rd on Netflix, a five-part one. They release images from it, trailer expected soon, and I thought it looked pretty cool. I like the looks of the character designs. And did you guys get a chance to see them?
Mm-mm. No, I didn't.
Man, you might be on the internet much this week then. But I'm excited for this. Mark Hamill, Kevin Conroy, two of the many guest voices in this show. So we'll see if Kevin Smith and his crew pulls off a good He-Man show when it hits on July 23rd. So.
Well, if it's a comic book writings is something to go on, I think he'll do a pretty decent job. He's a pretty good writer in his own right.
It should be fun. I'm actually looking forward to that. I'm definitely going to check it out when it hits. And so, He-Man, July 23rd on Netflix. That's all the news. You know, as news continues to just kind of trickle out slow in this COVID era. Some weeks we get a lot, some weeks we don't. The other news was Disney did announce, and Paramount's doing too. A lot of these movies are going to be 45 days in theaters instead of 90 days. So the theatrical window is being cut a little short, you know, and things coming to Blu-ray and DVD a little bit sooner in this era of COVID and streaming. So we'll see what happens. Let's preview next week's movie then, before we get out of here. One more movie to go before we get to episode 250. And, next week we're going to go to the DC Universe and talk a Zack Snyder film just before his Netflix movie hits. Army of the Dead will be out here next week. We're going to talk Man of Steel next week.
Goodbye, my son. Our hopes and dreams travel with you.
Be an outcast. I'll kill him.
How? He'll be be a god to them. What if a child dreamed of becoming something other than what society had intended? What if a child aspired to something greater?
My son was in the bus. He saw what Clark did.
You're the answer, son. You're the answer to "Are We Alone in the Universe?"
Can I just keep pretending I'm your son?
You are my son. And I have to believe that you were sent here for a reason. And even if it takes the rest of your life, you owe it to yourself to find out what that reason is.
How do you find someone who has spent a lifetime covering his tracks? For some, he was a guardian angel. For others, a ghost who never quite fit in.
You will give the people of Earth an ideal to strive towards. They will race behind you. They will stumble. They will fall. But in time, they will join you in the sun. In time, you will help them accomplish wonders.
You believe your son is safe?
I will find him!
My father believed if the world found out who I really was, they'd reject me. He was convinced that the world wasn't ready. What do you think?
What's the S stand for?
It's not an S. On my world, it means hope.
Well, here it's an S. How about...
Excuse me.
I actually really like Man of Steel. I think it gets way less credit than it deserves. It's action-packed as fuck, and that's what I like about it. I love the action in the movie. I think it's legitimately, maybe it's not the best Superman movie. You know, people have the soft spot for Christopher Reeve's films, but man, I really like Man of Steel quite a bit, and I always wanted a sequel to it, and don't know if we're ever going to get it, but you know, we'll discuss all that next week. And you know, I know you guys are with me. Y'all like Man of Steel too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I like that movie.
Yeah. I really enjoy it a lot. I never quite understood the hate it got, you know. I walked out of the theater fully satisfied after watching that film. So
admittedly that year had a lot of disaster stuff going. So I think it was disaster fatigue or
maybe
something going on that year.
Yeah.
But in hindsight, 2020, a lot of people are turning around on the film.
So, I'm not a big fan of the Jonathan Kent death scene, but we'll talk about that next week. That's probably my only beef with the film, is that scene really I just don't like the way they handled that. But, you know, that's my thing. And we'll talk that on next week's show. But until then, therebelradiopodcast.com, that's where you can find us. And as always, we thank you for listening as we get close to episode 250. And this has been Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long Racer S for shit. No. Needs to be the theme of the
Until
night.
Until next but, time.
No, nothing.
As long as fixing to do the do, just go there and do it.
And do it.
And do it.
In the toilet.
But don't do it.